Welcome to the Forward Church Podcast. We're so glad you joined us today. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast to stay up to date with our latest episodes. Now let's get ready to dive into today's message. We know you'll be blessed.
How good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. I want to tell you, I feel unity in God's house today. I feel His presence in this place. I want to speak to just a moment. You know, we have so many different things going on around here, and I don't want to fail to communicate something that I need to spend some time on today to communicate. Many of you have seen in the announcement video last Sunday and this Sunday that we're going to be taking up a special offering next Sunday to be able to purchase a vehicle. I would love, so one vehicle. Pastor Thomas has told me, he was my pastor, by the way, in Fife, up around the Fort Payne, Rainsville area before I moved down here. He's been my pastor ever since I was knee high to a grasshopper. And so I respect him very dearly. And he has retired from pastoral ministry, but he is still in ministry. And one of the ways that he does ministry is he has partnered with a rehabilitation ministry center for women on Sand Mountain called the Father's House. And this is a program that women will go through to be restored back into society from coming off of addictions and different things. As a matter of fact, the leader of that ministry has been able to partner with the judicial system there in the court system, and courts will actually, they have developed such a tremendous reputation in the area that courts will actually sentence these ladies. Instead of sentencing them to a certain amount of jail time, they will send them to the Father's House for restoration and rehabilitation because they know the power of God. Amen. One of the obstacles that they were running into was that when they would graduate the program, one of the requirements was that they would already have a job lined up to be able to assimilate back into society. But many of y'all know that without transportation, it's hard to have a job, right? Well, Pastor Thomas has always flipped cars on the side. He has always been very mechanically minded, and he rebuilds wrecked vehicles or vehicles that has been in an accident. And so he gets very high quality vehicles, he says, and he's able to rebuild these vehicles and gift them to these ladies. And he normally, the average cost of a vehicle is around $4,000. And he can get a low mileage, dependable, reliable vehicle to give to these ladies. And he said it's so amazing. As a matter of fact, I have a video that he did for us. And I haven't told the staff this yet, but I would love to post this video. It's about a 3 to 4 minute long video explaining the process. And we're probably going to post that on our Forward Church family Facebook page, maybe even our public Forward Church page this week to give you more information about that. But I would love for next Sunday, above and beyond our tithes and all of that, to give an offering to the Father's House. And I would love to see at least a $4,000 offering next Sunday to be able to gift a vehicle to one of these ladies coming out of this rehabilitation center. I believe God can do it. I believe that we serve a God of the impossible, and He makes all things possible. And I believe we have a generous church here. So thank you so much for allowing me to share that with you this morning. Y'all ready for the Word of God? Quick review. We're in Holy Spirit part 4 today. So we've been part 1, part 2, part 3. We started out ankle deep. We went knee deep. Then we went waist deep. Now we're getting shoulder deep. Even deeper today. I'm really, so part 1 and part 2 really dealt with who the Holy Spirit is, because there's so many misconceptions about the Holy Spirit today. I always say this. Number 1, either people have an incomplete, inaccurate, or distorted view of the Holy Spirit in the church today. And this is why about one time a year, I spend about 4 or 5 weeks preaching and teaching on the Holy Spirit, because of this, all the misconceptions and the distorted views of the Holy Spirit out there. He is not the weird uncle of the Trinity. He is just as much God as God the Father and God the Son. He is God, the Holy Spirit. Really, we dealt with He is our helper, and He convicts us or convinces us of sin. Sin because we need a Savior, right? We've all sinned. He convicts us of righteousness because we all need to be reminded who we are in Christ Jesus every once in a while. When the enemy comes against you, you better know that you've got an advocate, and the Holy Spirit is for you, reminding you of righteousness and your right standing in Christ Jesus. That pointing finger is already full throttle today. Y'all pray for me. Come on. And judgment. He convicts us of judgment because He says, the Word of God says, the ruler of this world has already been judged. And I want to remind somebody today, I know I'm not preaching this message all over again, but I just need to remind somebody that today the enemy is defeated. The enemy has already been judged. His fate has already been sealed. And you are an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony today. That was really part one. Part two, we dealt with all of that. Part three was last Sunday. We dealt with the doctrine of the three baptisms. We talked about being baptized into the body of Christ, which the agent of that baptism is who? The Holy Spirit, right? He baptizes us into the body of Christ. We talked about water baptism, and I challenged many people last Sunday that if you are saved, the next step in your walk with Christ is what? Water baptism. And we're going to be doing that in the 11 o'clock service today. I believe we have about 8 or 9 people signed up for water baptism today in the 11 o'clock service. Give God praise. Amen. And number three is the most controversial of all. And I always say this, the reason why it's controversial is for two reasons mainly. Number one, I think people are afraid of what they don't understand. And number two, I think the enemy has made it controversial because he understands the power of it. And the third baptism is Holy Spirit baptism, or being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the agent of that baptism is Jesus. Jesus actually said, I must go to the Father, and if I go to the Father, I will send you the promise. And I don't have time to get back into all of that preaching today, but here's what I want to do today. I want to follow up that preaching, and I specifically want to talk to you about the purpose and necessity of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The purpose and necessity of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I want you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. I don't believe that I can get into a message on the purpose and the necessity of the baptism in the Holy Spirit without going to the book of Acts. I think that's where it all begins. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 1. I want us to look at verses 4-8 as our main text today. And this is something that we do at Forward Church. It's just to honor the reading of the word of God. If you will, let's stand together and let's read this word together. Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 4. If you got it, say, I got it. If not, it's up on the screen, and it says this. And being assembled together with them, this is Jesus, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And I don't have time to get into that preaching point this morning, but Jesus turned their perspective back to where he knew it needed to be. And he said to them, he didn't even really address that, but in verse 7, here's what he did address. And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but here's what you do need to know. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So today I'm really excited. I'm going to bring to you part 4 of Holy Spirit. Will you pray with me? God, I love you. And I thank you, God, for this word that you've given me today. I pray, God, that you would hide me behind your cross. As cliche as that may sound, God, I mean that. I don't want people to really see me or hear me. I want them to see you and hear you through me today, God. And I pray, Lord, let the words that come out of my mouth today, God, be ordained by you, nothing more, nothing less. Let them pierce the hearts of this congregation that we would not just be hearers of your word, but doers. And God, I pray this prayer every single Sunday, and I mean it, Father. I don't want a single one of us, myself included, to leave this place the same way we walked in. And I'll be quick to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, fist bump 2 or 3 people and tell them, get ready. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I want to talk to you really quick today about five things, five necessities, or five reasons why Holy Spirit baptism is such a need in the life of the believer. Five reasons. Number one is this: power for witness. Power for witness. How many of y'all know we are to be witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ? See, the baptism in the Holy Spirit gives believers power for Christian service. As a matter of fact, the last words of Jesus, and this is how I closed the sermon last Sunday, the last words of Jesus wasn't to go into all the world. The last words of Jesus wasn't the Great Commission. As a matter of fact, the last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples on the face of this earth was really not to go, but to wait, to tarry. Because Jesus understood that in order for them to go into the world and to be effective in witnessing for the kingdom and the gospel of Jesus Christ, Jesus even understood the necessity and the need to be endued with power from on high. You see, power for special service is the distinctive result of having been filled with the Spirit. As a matter of fact, Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit before he began his public ministry. How many of y'all know that if Jesus needed the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon his life, the very Son of the living God, how much more so should we as humans need the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit upon our life? Jesus also performed his mighty works by the power of the Spirit. He preached and healed under the anointing and the power of the Spirit. You say, I need scripture for this, Pastor. Well, here it is. Jesus, speaking in the book of Luke, told us this. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Even Jesus Christ himself proclaimed to the world the ministry that I am accomplishing, the miracles that I am performing is by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon my life. Even Peter, preaching to Cornelius's household, said this, and he spoke of how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who he said went out about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That's according to Acts 10 and 38. When confronting the Pharisees who challenged his authority, Jesus taught this. He said, I cast out demons by the Spirit of God. See, he challenged the religious people of the word of the world under the anointing of the Spirit of God. Jesus understood the need for the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. You say, well, Jesus was fully God. Yes, but see, he took upon this flesh. He left divinity to come into this time and this earth and this realm of that has been overruled by sin and curse of sin has run rampant, and Jesus humbled himself and he understood the need of the Holy Spirit in his life for ministry and for effectiveness in the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, Jesus promised his disciples that he would send them the Holy Spirit after he returned to the Father so that they could perform, the Bible says, greater works through the power of the Spirit. We find this in John 14:12. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. You see, the reason we are, and I've already alluded to this, but the reason why we are able to do greater works is because Jesus ascended into heaven, but he sent the promise of the Holy Spirit in our life. And it's not by power or by might, but it's by his Spirit, declares the Lord. And the only reason we are able to do greater things in quantity, not quality, is because of the Spirit that is operational today in the church and through the church. The disciples would do greater works in quantity rather than in quality, as the Holy Spirit would now be actively working in all those who yield to the fullness of the Holy Spirit in their life. You see, the disciples, and I love this, they were all transformed into different men after the Holy Spirit came upon them at Pentecost. You can literally read the history of the Holy Spirit and the church in the book of Acts, and you can see a difference in the men prior to the Holy Spirit being poured out versus after the Holy Spirit was poured out. You see, the disciples were transformed in John 20, verse 19. They were portrayed as huddled together behind closed doors, the Bible says, for fear of the Jews. They were afraid of the people that were actually coming against them. They were behind closed doors. They were timid. They were afraid. They were full of fear, shy. But as a matter of fact, after Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, that same group of timid, shy, even believers in Jesus Christ that was shut up behind closed doors after Pentecost, that same group of men could not be kept behind closed doors. They went about preaching, teaching, healing the sick, proclaiming the good news of Jesus, no matter what come against them, no matter what persecution come against them, no matter the threat of death and persecution and punishment that come against them, they had the boldness of the Holy Spirit in their life to come against whatever the enemy threw their way. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses. Number two, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to know the will of God. The need of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our life gives us the power to know the will of God. Through the baptism with the Holy Spirit, believers have the power to discern God's will. As a matter of fact, we need a little bit more discernment in the church today, I believe. We live in a day and an hour where people, I believe, God forgive me if this statement is of myself and not of you today, but we live in a day and an hour where people, I believe, are undiscerning of the spirits and the times that we're in. And when I say that, the Bible says that we are to test the spirit. We are to test these things and discern these things and know these things. And I'm afraid today that we are lacking spiritual discernment in the day and hour that we live in. But the Holy Spirit gives us power to discern and to know the will of God. Peter, quoting the prophet Joel, proclaimed this: "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants," or on my men servants and on my maid servants, "I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." Pastor, what in the world does this have to do with discerning the will of God? I'll tell you, it has everything to do with discerning the will of God. Through the baptism with the Holy Spirit, believers are able to discern the prophetic will of God. Believers are able to prophesy. They're able to know what God's will and what God's direction, what God's purpose is in their life. As a matter of fact, tongues and interpretation equals prophecy. Paul says this: "Would I rather you speak in tongues or would I rather you prophesy?" I would rather you prophesy, because what takes two gifts can be summed up in prophecy in one. And when we prophesy, we're prophesying God's will. We're speaking God's divine direction over the life of the believer. When we dream spiritual dreams, God's given us direction. God's giving us understanding that otherwise we would not be made aware of in the flesh. But it's the Spirit of God that reveals things to us. It's the Spirit of God that gives us direction. It's the Spirit of God that knows whether we are to walk through that door or not to walk through that. It's the Spirit of God that tells us to stay when we need to stay. It's the Spirit of God that tells us to go when we need to go. It's the Spirit of God that tells us you need to say this, but you don't need to say that. And when we're lacking in the Spirit, chaos is running rampant. But we need more believers today that knows the will of God and is being led by the Holy Spirit in their life. Scripture has many examples of the followers of Christ being led through prophetic dreams, visions, and inclinations. I told you this is getting heavy today. This is things that people don't want to preach about because people don't understand. And they think that people are going to think that they're weird when they get up here and start preaching about prophetic dreams and visions and all that. But I just read to you in the scripture, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And we read it in this word, but we just think that it's words on a page and it doesn't mean anything to us. But I'm going to tell you, this word is life. This word is the way the church, this is our bread, this is our substance, this is the way we operate, this is the way we walk, this is the way we talk. It's our direction in this life. But so many, give him praise. I'm plowing this morning, whether you feel it or not in this place. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, believers are able to discern the prophetic will of God. Peter was guided to accept the Gentiles into God's plan of salvation through a dream given by the Spirit of God, according to Acts 10:9-16. Peter actually had to be rebuked because he was not allowing Gentiles being non-Jews into this faith covenant with Jesus Christ. And through a prophetic dream where God showed him what I have made clean, do not call unclean, a prophetic vision and a prophetic dream actually showed Peter, a disciple of Jesus Christ, the will of God, which goes to show even sometimes believers can get in the flesh and get it wrong. But when we are led by the, come on, I'm preaching better than what you're letting on. And so many times we get upset when brother and sister Yay Yay and sister Nay Nay said something that they shouldn't have said, and we blame it on God and we get mad at God. But even believers get it wrong sometimes, and the Holy Spirit will correct us. Paul's missionary journeys were continually influenced by the Holy Spirit. The scripture states that Paul and his companions, this is in Acts chapter 16, were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. That's Acts 16:6-7. Because God knew what was best more than, sometimes we have desires that are outside the will of God, but when we follow the Spirit of God, we know that we are in the perfect will of God because the Spirit will never lead you outside the will. Pastor, I need to know God's will in my life. Well, I'm going to tell you, there is a word that will teach you God's will, and there is a Spirit that will guide you into God's will. I'm going to calm down right here because I need to say this in love. Because God can speak prophetically through a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom through a believer, through a Spirit-filled believer to someone else. But I'm going to tell you, the same Spirit that is upon me is the same Spirit that is upon every single one of you who are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he will lead you and he will guide you if you will develop an intimate personal relationship with him. And sometimes it ain't a word from man that you need, it's a word from God. And see, what has gotten us into the shape that we're in today in a lot of circumstances is that we're following the word of man instead of the word of God. And maybe there wouldn't be so many church splits. Maybe there wouldn't be so many arguments. Maybe there wouldn't be so many divisions if the church would stop following the word of man and just start following the word of God. And it's true whether you like it or not. Later in Acts 16, a vision appeared to Paul in night. After he had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go to Macedonia, including that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Don't go here, go there. It's clear that Paul and his fellow followers of Christ believe that the Holy Spirit empowered them to discern the will of God. Believers, listen to me, who are baptized with the Holy Spirit will have greater power to discern, number one, and to do the will of God. It's true whether you believe it or not. Spirit-filled believers, listen, the Holy Spirit doesn't make you better than anybody else. The Holy Spirit makes you better than you. Because the Holy Spirit not only reveals to you the will of God, the Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you into the will of God. And I think today is time that we get full of God in our life. Number three, the need for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Number three, power for spiritual warfare. Believers have been called to a way of life and to kingdom tasks that need the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit. The way I've worded this before is we've got too many people trying to do a godly thing without God. And God gives every believer Spirit-given tasks that require Spirit-given ability. I want to say that again because I don't want it to go one ear and out the other. And many of y'all, your ADD is kicking in right now, and I just need to rebuke the spirit of ADD in Jesus' name. And some of y'all don't know how to take that, but sometimes you just gotta roll with it. That's okay. God gives every believer Spirit-given tasks that require Spirit-given ability. Meaning this, the calling of God upon your life and the purpose of God upon your life and the plan of God upon your life is bigger than you. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than what you can accomplish on your own. It's bigger than what you can do on your own. You know why? Because the plan and the purpose of God that is upon you, you're not going to get the credit for. You're not going to get the glory for. He's going to call you into waters that are deeper than what you can wade on your own. He's going to call you up higher than what you have ever treaded up on your own by your own power and your own feet. He's going to call you into a territory that is uncomfortable. He's going to get you out of your comfort zone so that he can get the glory for everything that's accomplished, not only in your life, but through your life. That way signs, wonders, and miracles start breaking out around you. People start getting delivered. You're going to be able to say, listen, I don't know. All I know is this. God is able to set people free. And in advancing the purposes of Christ, Christian workers face great demonic opposition. Demonic opposition from the enemy and intense conflict in the spiritual realm. We know this. We don't like to talk about it. We don't like to talk about it because we're afraid that the unbeliever that's coming in here will hear something like this and be scared and walk out the back door and say, I don't know what that pastor's talking about up there, but I'm going to tell you if it's in this word, I'm going to talk about it. Because whether they realize it or not, what they're going through a lot of times in life, I'm not saying all the time, but what they're going through a lot of times in life is an attack of the enemy. And they need to know, and people need to know, and the world needs to know that we have an opposing force today called the devil. And he prowls around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. But I want somebody to know that through the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life, you've got the power to not only engage in spiritual warfare, but you've got the power to engage, and you've got the power to overcome the enemy. By the anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. It's not the knowledge of man. It's not the wisdom of man. It's not the famous words and the famous people and the politician. Oh, I'm preaching right now. It's not all these things that we look to today that we hope brings the world freedom, but it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's the presence of God that can set people free. And when people come into Forward Church, I want them to know that this is where the anointing of God is. This is where the anointing of God flows. Consequently, Christians need spiritual ability and power to be successful in our work. Ephesians 6 and 12 says, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of the wickedness in heavenly places. I want you to know this. The Holy Spirit provides us with everything we need for spiritual warfare. And you may be under the sound of my voice today, and you may not even be engaging in spiritual warfare, but I want you to understand this is happening whether you're engaging in it or not. And the Holy Spirit has already given us the weapons to fight this battle. 2 Corinthians 10 verses 4 through 5 says this, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of your flesh. They're not of you. They're not a pocket knife, a handgun, and a sword, and sword of the Spirit. But the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty. They're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down our, you're not going to fight a spiritual battle in the flesh. You're not going to throw your fist up like this at the enemy and say, I'm going to beat you up. I know I'm being a little corny right there, but you know what you can do? You can open up this word of God and you can say this, no, I'm not defeated because this word of God says I'm a victor. I'm a victor. No, I'm not full of shame and depression, because the Bible says, whom the Son makes free is free indeed. And you have broke me. God, you've set me free from all. The enemy, I'm not bound in chains and addiction anymore, because the Word of God says this, that the power of God working in me is able to do exceedingly abundant. No, enemy, I'm not. And the weapons of our warfare are mighty if we are being led by the Spirit. Number 4 and 5, and I'm going to close with this today. Worship team, y'all can be making your way out. I'm going to group these together. Number 4, power for overflow. Power for overflow. Somebody say overflow. Punch your neighbor and say overflow. Jesus cried out this in John 7, 37 through 39. He says this, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, some translations say out of his belly, will flow rivers of living water. But look at verse 39. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. He had not yet ascended into heaven. The Holy Spirit had not yet been poured out. He said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Listen to me. Note particularly that the power Jesus spoke of flows out of the believer. So not only does Jesus baptize us, not only does Jesus pour the power, listen to me, not only does he pour it out on you, not only does he pour it out in you, but Jesus said, out of your belly will flow. Out of your belly will flow. And every Spirit-filled believer in this house this morning, listen to me when I say this. You are not only a vessel to contain the power of God, you are a vessel where the power of God is intended to flow through and overflow onto every single person around you. Every single person that you come into contact with should know there's something different about this one. Something different about this one. God's servants are more than empty channels. We're vessels. The Lord is looking for individuals he can fill with his presence and power so that they can flow. The power can flow over into others. The ultimate blessing, listen to me, the ultimate blessing believers bring to others is the overflow of their own experience with God. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me testify. Let me tell you how God set me free. You want to know who gives the boldness for you to testify? You want to know who comes upon you and anoints you to know what to say when you don't know what to say? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that will give you words. And when you get into situations that is beyond you, in situations that Pastor, you just don't know me. I'm timid, I'm shy. Yes, but the believers were too. They were shut up behind closed doors. But when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, there wasn't nothing and nobody could say that could shut them up and keep them quiet. They had to tell somebody. Look at your neighbor and say overflow. See, ministry is not how much individuals can hold, but how much they can overflow. Ministry is not about, and service is not about how much you can hold, but it's how much you can overflow. Out of the overflow, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Speaks. What should you be overflowing out of your heart? Out of your heart will flow a river of living water. And when we see a world that is thirsty and desperate for something, I'm going to tell you, we see there is, every time I walk out of these doors, I am broken in my spirit, because I see a world that is hurting. I see a world that is desperate. I see a world that needs to be set free. And all the while, I know that the church has the power and the ability to do it, but it's out of the overflow. It's out of the overflow. Pastor, I barely got enough for me this morning. Well, listen. It's not because God don't have it. It's not because God don't have enough for you. Allow him to pour into you. I told you number 5. I was going to couple these two together. Here it is. And this might not make sense to you to begin with, but here it is. Power for ability. Power for ability. Because many of you under the sound of my voice right now, here's what you're saying. I can't do it. I can't do it. I hear you. Good word, Pastor. I'm ready to see this city transformed. I'm ready to see miracle. But all the while you're saying, it's not for me. Well, maybe that pastor, he's on fire for God. Maybe he can go. Well, that worship team or that prayer team or Sister Rosa or this pastor or that. No, listen to me. Every spirit-filled believer, God will give you the power for the ability to do things that are beyond you. Here's what I'm saying. The power for or ability is from heaven. Jesus called it this, power from on high. Meaning this, you have an ability in you and on you that is not of this world. You have a power and an ability in you and on you that is from heaven. You carry heaven everywhere you go. The atmosphere of heaven follows you. The atmosphere of heaven flows through you. The culture of this world and the atmosphere of this world says this, but the atmosphere of heaven says something different. And while the world is proclaiming fear, while the world is proclaiming all this depression and all this anxiety, the atmosphere of heaven is proclaiming joy. The atmosphere of heaven is proclaiming peace. The atmosphere of heaven is proclaiming goodness. The atmosphere of heaven is proclaiming breakthrough in Jesus' name. God-given ability to do God-given tasks and to carry out God-given commissions is what I'm talking about. God-given ability to do God-given tasks to carry out God-given commissions. The enemy, and I know I'm over my time, but the enemy would have you to be so distracted and so busy today that you never focus on the God-given task in front of you. And listen to me, I'm not telling you to quit your job. I'm not telling you to leave where you're at. I'm not telling you to quit doing what you're doing. But what I am saying is wherever you go, whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. Whether it be in school, whether it be in your job, whether it be in your workplace, whether it be in Walmart, whether it be in Greer's, whether it be in Dollar General, when you see that person that's in need, what I have, I may not have money, I may not have what you need physically speaking, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Rise up and walk, be set free, blinded eyes be open, yoke be broken. Come on, stand to your feet and give God praise in this house this morning. Come on, somebody. This is the ability to follow divine guidance. It's the ability to follow divine guidance into fields unknown and known only by God. It's the ability to respond to God's providence. It's the ability to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the ability to love divinely as Jesus loved. It's the ability to preach Christ with conviction and persuasion. It's the ability to exercise spiritual gifts for the edification of the church. It's the ability to suffer persecution for the Lord's sake. It's the ability to live a holy life. Come on. It's the ability to live a holy life above the wicked standards of the world. Power from on high is the ability to work for God, to work lovingly, willingly, faithfully, and with perseverance. Come on, somebody.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message. Make sure to subscribe to stay up to date with our most recent episodes. To find out more, visit us at forwardchurchonline.com. There you can connect with us, learn more about our ministries, and submit any prayer requests you may have. We hope you join us again soon.